Kevin Jones.
Left leg for Dante. Three in the air. Swish!
Greg Jones, their outstanding guard, has to be the king. They don't blame me.
Daryl Brooks.
Devin Evans.
What for Daniel?
Kirby Brooks on the two-pointer.
Dallas Nichols wins the game.
Alexander. It's a dunk right in his face.
Something is Jones.
They can take the ball to the left side, spins, shoots, layup, shot, good!
Got that Carter throw the ball.
Javon Carter is in Trae Young's head.
Butler into the lane, into traffic. It goes again! West Virginia has won its first Big East championship.
They're going wild here at the Coliseum.
So long, Big Blue. Hello, Golden Blue. The West Virginia Mountaineers are going to the Final Four. It is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
And now, it's the show brought to you by Mountaineer fans, for Mountaineer fans, the Country Rose Webcast.
What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome into Episode 7 of the CRW Hoops Podcast. As we continue to try and cover the West Virginia men's basketball season, unfortunately coming off a loss to UCF, but we're hoping to see them get back on the winning side of things, maybe secure a road win coming up this Saturday as they hit the road to take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys and what a lot of people feel like can be a winnable game for this West Virginia team that has showed some winning ways recently, picking up a couple of wins over top 25 teams here in recent weeks. So this team certainly has the capabilities of getting a road win. We're hoping to see them do it, and we'll preview that game and provide my prediction here towards the tail end of the episode. But before we do that, we'll review the game against UCF. But before we get to either one of those things, we got to kick this episode off the way we always like to, of course, and that's with a little bit of Mountaineer news. All right, and leading off Mountaineer news here, before we shift into some more basketball-centric topics, want to touch on some other news across other West Virginia sports. But combined social media following, landing West Virginia football in the top 25 in the nation here, as you see shared by our friend Mike over at WVSportsNow.com, where you can find our episodes of the Country Roads webcast there as well. So be sure to check out WVSN for all your Mountaineer sports needs. Much the same way WVU football was able to get ranked in a major poll on the field, the Mountaineers are also one of the top 25 programs in a category that has nothing to do with wins and losses. Based on the combined totals for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, West Virginia owns the 23rd largest following in college football across all social media platforms, accumulating over 800,000 followers as this data was calculated by School Sparks. And there you see the tweet out on social media there, West Virginia, top 25 in the nation among social media follows. So pretty cool there. We all know how extensive the West Virginia fan base is, and this just goes to show further proof of that fact for us throughout Mountaineer Nation. And speaking of Mountaineer Nation, I'm sure Mountaineer Nation all agrees that West Virginia being highly undervalued in the Big 12 baseball preseason media poll, but surprise, surprise, a Big 12 media poll undervaluing West Virginia. I guess they didn't learn from doing it in the football side when they picked West Virginia to finish last at 14th. West Virginia ends up, you know, top of the conference there, tied for fourth, and one of the best seasons they've had in the Big 12. And I think yet again, West Virginia will prove the naysayers wrong in this media poll. As you see here, the Big 12 baseball media poll shared on the screen if you're tuned into the video version, which appreciate you watching that, whether you're tuned into the Country Roads webcast YouTube or on the web there at WVSportsNow.com. Appreciate you taking this in visually, or if you're tuned in on the audio side there, which you can find on any podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio, you name it, you can find us. Just search Country Roads webcast. But if you're tuned in on the video version, you can see the poll here. West Virginia tied for sixth in the Big 12 baseball media poll with Oklahoma, receiving 85 votes. So not even in the top half, technically, you know, tied to be in the top half, I guess you can say there, when they're tied for six. So very interesting. You thought for sure West Virginia would probably be top five in this poll at the very least. And I think, like I said, West Virginia will prove the naysayers wrong. Randy Mazey's final season, that's going to really provide some motivation. Plus, you have arguably the best player in college baseball in J.J. Weatherholt, projected to be, you know, a top two pick in the MLB draft next season. So really, I think West Virginia is going to be much better than they're predicted here in this preseason poll. And I think they've got a chance to be a contender in this Big 12 conference. So there's some baseball news to touch on here in Mountaineer news, and we're going to shift to more Mountaineer basketball. But before we talk about the men, we would be remiss not to mention the women's basketball team and the phenomenal job they're doing this season. And you certainly need to shout out to new first-year head coach Mark Kellogg, leading the women's basketball program in such a great way. They're off to a fantastic start, 16-2 to begin the season. J.J. Quinterly just named Big 12 Player of the Week. She's having an awesome season, one of the top guards in all of women's college basketball. And West Virginia has done a phenomenal feat here recently, holding teams to a shutout in back-to-back first quarters and back-to-back games. They've really been an awesome threat. Defensively, they have players that are leading the nation in steals, J.J. Quinterly among those, as well as a handful of others. They've really done an awesome job the way that they're using this pressing defensive style that really is forcing other teams to turn the ball over. And if you haven't had a chance to watch the women's basketball team, I encourage you, if you're in Morgantown, head out to the Coliseum. They're playing at 2 p.m., same time as the men's team, but they will be playing at home. So, you know, you could go to the Coliseum, watch the women's game, and then, you know, have the men playing in your earphone there on Tony's call since they're on the road anyway. And this women's team certainly deserves our attention as Mountaineer fans with the success that they're having. Coming up against Iowa State at 2 p.m., this is their 50th year as a women's program, so it's a 50-year celebration there, and it's going to be a gold rush game, so wear your gold if you do make it out. But certainly wanted to shout out Mark Kellogg and the women's team here in Mountaineer News, off to a phenomenal start of the season, 16-2 overall, and hopefully that continues with a win for them coming on Saturday as well. And then finally, to round out Mountaineer news, we got to talk about some men's basketball news. And this one's important and one that we're all excited about, I'm sure. The Backyard Brawl has been extended in men's basketball for another 4 years, as you see here, shared by Ethan Bach over on WVSN. Just put out in a press release recently from the university, the games will continue at Pitt in 2024-2025 season, 25-26 season back in Morgantown, then at Pitt again, and then back at West Virginia to culminate this series in 27-28. So super excited to see that continue. Hopefully we'll get to see it continue on the football side in the near future as well. So that will pretty much wrap us up with Mountaineer news. Now we can move into the review of the game against UCF, and more importantly, the preview of the upcoming game against Oklahoma State. We'll get into some of the stat leaders for both of those clubs, and I'll try and provide my prediction for that game, which will be the 20th game of the West Virginia men's basketball season. Hard to believe already that the 2023-2024 campaign has already reached that point, but hopefully there's some more wins coming on the horizon for West Virginia, because they certainly need it, and they need to turn things around in a big way if they want to be involved in postseason play at the end of this season. And you know, it's a long season, but hopefully West Virginia has what it takes to endure, as they will have some players returning from injury here in the near future. Hoping to see Jesse Edwards maybe play some minutes in this game against Oklahoma State. So despite the fact that it's a long season, West Virginia certainly, you know, hopefully has enough gas in the tank at the end of it to be able to compete in some of these games. And when you need a little bit extra gas in your tank, you know, sometimes those work days get long. There's nothing that can help you more than Magic Mind. These 2.5-ounce productivity shots, they've worked wonders for me here. You guys know I've been raving about them here on the CRW, and rightfully so. I was someone that really enjoyed coffee, you know, far too much, to be quite honest with you. I would drink it, you know, from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep. But ever since I started taking Magic Mind, I'm down to a cup a day, or even half a cup a day sometimes. And my energy level is not only just as good, and I would argue that it's even better, because Magic Mind really allows those benefits of caffeine to stay prolonged and last you throughout the day. Also, it really helps with your anxiety and stress levels, keeps those more manageable, and they will not be as peaked as they are when you're drinking a ton of coffee. And that's due to the all-natural ingredients in Magic Mind. We're talking ashwagandha, lion's mane mushroom, matcha, you name it, all kinds of great stuff that goes into Magic Mind. It's also keto friendly, vegan, paleo friendly, all of those great things. So not only do you get the great benefits that you think that you typically get, you know, from coffee and caffeine, Magic Mind makes those last longer. Plus, it's better for you health-wise. So can't really recommend it enough. And there's no better time to try it than right now in January. And you can use our special code magicmind.com/Jan. Country Roads, and use discount code Confidential20 to get a little bit extra off of that. No better time here. Like I said, they're running this special through the month of January so they can really help you crush your 2024 New Year's resolution fully focused. And with this January special, you're going to get 1 month free if you subscribe for 3 months at the link provided there. That's magicmind.com/JAN. Country Roads, and with our Country Roads webcast exclusive code CONFIDENTIAL20, you're going to get an extra 20% off, which gets you up to 75% off. But hurry up, this only lasts to the end of January, so be sure, get it done, get your magic mind. I'm sure you're going to really reap the benefits of that throughout all of 2024 if you choose to hop on this special exclusive deal. And speaking of hopping on to something, West Virginia is hoping to hop on to the winning side of things yet again. They've took a loss, you know, and hopefully that was just a little step back on their journey back to the winning ways that we saw them have against programs like Texas and even Kansas. A big upset win in Morgantown just a couple of games ago, taking down the number three team in the nation. So we know the capability is there, and West Virginia is hoping to reach that against Oklahoma State. We'll preview that game momentarily, but before we do, let's recap that most recent game as West Virginia fell to UCF in the 19th game of the WVU basketball season. All right, so unfortunately, West Virginia does fall to UCF, 72-59. Road loss, of course. West Virginia has struggled on the road this season. They're hoping to right that and get back on the winning ways on the road in this upcoming game against Oklahoma State. We'll get into that momentarily, but won't spend too much time on this UCF loss. Don't want to harp on it, obviously. I know it was probably heartbreaking enough. We thought West Virginia had finally turned a corner, and they come out, and unfortunately, just from beginning to end, really, UCF was in control of this game, and for lack of a better term, they kind of bullied West Virginia in this one, unfortunately, and hopefully that's a wake-up call for West Virginia and they play a little bit more physical moving forward against physical teams that are really going to try and push you around that way in the way that UCF did in this game. At home, they win it handily. You know, 13-point halftime lead. West Virginia plays better in the second half, but, you know, that ends up with a 13-point loss, unfortunately, for West Virginia. As we dive into the numbers, you can see UCF primarily a defensive team. They didn't shoot the ball that great themselves, 37% from the field, only one percentage point better than West Virginia, who shot 36%. Three-point line, 11 of 28 for the Mountaineers, 7 of 22 for UCF. West Virginia shoots 39% there. UCF was content with West Virginia, you know, shooting threes. They just were trying to not give up points in the paint, and they did a good job of that. They stopped West Virginia's pick and roll, which was such a good weapon against Kansas. And the big man Diallo of UCF also did a good job of bothering Pat Sumnick on some of his looks. He struggled after having such a great game. And when West Virginia has some of their better players struggle, we'll talk about the individual numbers here in a minute. When you're talking about Battle and Sumnick, who have been really strong forces for you of late, when they struggle, the team's going to struggle as well. And as you can see, you know, the numbers kind of bear that out, both team-wise and, of course, individually. We'll talk about momentarily. Free throw, you know, these were the top two free throw attempt teams in the conference. West Virginia was number one. UCF was number two. But UCF certainly dominated in that aspect. You know, you can talk about officiating all that you want. And sure, West Virginia didn't get some calls in this game. I won't argue with you there. But I would definitely say that UCF also got to the line more because they were just the more aggressive team, the more attacking team, and quite frankly, it looked like they wanted it more from the beginning of this game. Free throws, though, West Virginia only attempts 10 compared to 25 for UCF, and West Virginia doesn't shoot great on their 10 attempts, 6 of 10, 60% compared to 21 of 25. UCF shoots 84% from the line. The Mountaineers out-rebounded by 11, another big difference in this game, and we know that's been a struggle for the Mountaineers throughout, you know, a good portion of this season. A lot of that due to the fact of the injury to Jesse Edwards. We're hoping to see him come back here in this game against Oklahoma State, at least get some minutes. That could really help that a ton. West Virginia, you know, just doesn't have a lot of size right now, especially at the five position. If, you know, a guy like Sumnick that gets in trouble, you know, a cook's a great player, great rim defender, doesn't really grab a ton of rebounds, not the way that Jesse Edwards did. You know, I think your leading rebounder right now is probably, what, six or so rebounds a game. Jesse Edwards was pulling down nearly a double-double. I think he's at 14-9 before his injury. So right there, that's going to help you a lot in those numbers, and you're going to need it, something that you've struggled with lately. Assists, 15 for UCF, 14 for the Mountaineers. Blocks, 7 apiece for both teams. Both teams turned the ball over 11 times, but you see the difference here is the points off turnovers, really. 18 for UCF compared to only 5 for West Virginia, and when they got out in transition, they made the most of it. 24 fast break points, only 6 for the Mountaineers. And as we conclude the team numbers, you can see West Virginia never holding a lead in this game, unfortunately. It was UCF kind of dominating this one from beginning to end, but let's take a look at the individual numbers for the Mountaineers, and then we'll move on to hopefully something more positive as we look at a preview of the game against Oklahoma State for West Virginia. But you see, Pat Sumnick coming off a career day in which he dominated, you know, one of the best players in college basketball, and Hunter Dickinson, 20 points on him. He really struggled in this game against UCF, unfortunately. 0 of 6 from the field, had some decent looks, ends up fouling out towards the end of the game. 0 points for him. And then, of course, Raekwon Battle, very frustrating night as well. 2 of 6 from the field, only ends up with 5 points. And, you know, he ends up with the ejection as well. Towards the end of this game, his frustration kind of come to a boiling point, unfortunately. Can't have that happen in the future. I'm sure the coaching staff's going to talk to him about, you know, letting his emotion get the best of him in this game. And I'm sure it's something that he certainly regrets. But Raekwon Battle's, you know, a great young man, great player. And I'm sure we'll see him bounce back here coming up starting Saturday, I would assume. Kirk Risa, 9 points, 3 of 10 from the field. So despite the fact that, you know, he does get the 9 points, he's not nearly as efficient from the field as he was in the game, you know, previously against Kansas when he really helped West Virginia, especially from behind the three-point line. Kobe Johnson in the starting lineup, no points for him, does contribute 3 assists, though, and I thought, you know, they were using him to try and help defensively the Mountaineers in this game. Akuka Cook, pretty good performance, 7 points, 3 rebounds. We really need him to try and hit the glass harder if possible and gain some more rebounds for the Mountaineers, especially with Jesse Edwards still. Even if he does come back, it's going to be in a limited role. We need someone to pick up that slack. And speaking about picking up the slack, no one in this game deserves a shout-out for doing that more and deserves a shout-out more for their performance in a game where West Virginia struggled. Then Josiah Harris plays 20 minutes, scores 15 points, hits 5 threes, really was the only Mountaineer that was efficient from the field for the most part. 5 of 8 there from the three-point line. Also snatched 8 boards, and you love seeing him go up and grab those, be aggressive on the glass. If he can continue to do that, that's really going to carve out a role for him on this team consistently as a rebounding guy. And if he can sit around and hit threes on drive and kick, that's going to help West Virginia a ton offensively as well. So great performance from Josiah Harris. Hopefully it becomes more of the norm for him. 15 points and 8 rebounds. Certainly was a standout Mountaineer on the night. Then you get Noah Farrakhan, 8 points off the bench, 3 rebounds and 3 assists. I think he's done a good job dishing the ball recently. I believe he had 6 against Kansas. Not a lot of guys can keep up with him one-on-one, so he's going to beat him off that first step, and then that's going to cause the defense to collapse and give a lot of those drive and kick opportunities that guys like Josiah Harris can hit threes off of, as well as Seth Wilson, who had 7 points in this game, hit 1 3, and Quinn Slezinski, who did hit his lone three-point attempt in the game, 1 of 1 there, 7 points, 3 rebounds for him off the bench. So that's kind of a look at the numbers for West Virginia, and unfortunately, what was a loss for the Mountaineers to the UCF Knights there in the 19th game of the season. But hopefully West Virginia has better results when they hit the road here, head to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State this Saturday for a 2 p.m. tip there, West Virginia's 20th game of the season. Let's dive in here with a preview as we look at how these teams match up number-wise, both as a whole, and then we'll take a look at some standout players for both of these clubs here before I provide my prediction and we wrap up here on Episode 7 of the CRW Hoops Podcast. All right, so taking a look at the matchup, January 27th, like I said, coming up this Saturday, it's going to be televised on ESPN Plus yet again, 2 p.m. tip there in Stillwater, 8-11 Oklahoma State, who is seeking their first conference win. They're 0-6 in the Big 12, so as I stated earlier, certainly looks like a winnable game for West Virginia, despite the fact that we know this Mountaineers ball club has struggled playing on the road. West Virginia comes into this one 7-12 overall, 2-4 in the Big 12 conference. Matchup predictor, still favoring Oklahoma State. A lot of that probably tied into playing at home and knowing West Virginia's struggles on the road. Also, you know, desperation is obviously, you know, a good recipe for, you know, a win as well. And they're certainly desperate coming in 0-6 in the conference, looking for that first conference win. I think both of these teams are probably going to be hungry. West Virginia's looking to bounce back. They're looking to show they can win on the road. And Oklahoma State's looking to show they can win in this very tough Big 12 conference. But ESPN sees an 83% chance for Oklahoma compared to 17 for West Virginia. And then we look at the team stats for both of these teams, nearly around the same scoring wise, 72 points per game for Oklahoma State compared to 68 for the Mountaineers. West Virginia's given up 73 points a game. Oklahoma State is giving up 70. Field goal percentage, West Virginia's shooting 41% on the year compared to 45 for Oklahoma State. Rebounds nearly dead even, 35 for West Virginia, 35.4 for Oklahoma State. Assists per game, 13 for the Mountaineers compared to 15 for Oklahoma State. Blocks per game, 4 for West Virginia, 3 for Oklahoma State. steals per game, slight advantage for the Cowboys, 6 per game compared to 5 for West Virginia. Oklahoma State coming into this game on a 6-game losing streak. West Virginia coming on after just losing to UCF after picking up the big win over Kansas. West Virginia actually has won 2 out of their last 5 compared to Oklahoma State, who's coming into this one, like I said, really desperate to pick up a win. But let's take a look at some of the individual standouts for Oklahoma State. Then we'll talk about West Virginia scoring leaders before I throw out my prediction to wrap up this episode. All right, taking a look at the team leaders for Oklahoma State, and the one thing that I can say looking at their roster really stands out is that they're a long basketball club. A lot of their guards, you know, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". Some of their forwards, 6'8", you know, to 6'11". So certainly going to be a lengthy team for West Virginia to deal with. So you certainly think this would be a great game for Jesse Edwards to make his return. West Virginia could use that length in this contest. West Virginia has been a bit undersized playing without Jesse Edwards. Obviously, Pat Summitt been playing the 5-man for West Virginia at, you know, 6'8", 6'9" on a good day. But he's really held his own there in recent games, save for obviously last contest against UCF, but I expect that to change against Oklahoma State for him to have a great bounce back performance. But when you look at the Oklahoma State team leaders, Javon Small leads them in points and assists, 14 points per game, 5 assists per game. West Virginia certainly is going to have to be on the lookout for him. The other double digit scorers on the season for Oklahoma State would be Bryce Thompson, a guard West Virginia is familiar with facing, know of his scoring capabilities. Believe he hurt West Virginia last season in one of their matchups. And then you get Eric Daly Jr., who is one of those very lengthy forwards that I was talking about. He's averaging over 10 points per game on the season. He's a freshman, but he's a standout freshman. Great size, 6'8", 230 pounds. So he's going to be a handful for West Virginia, not only to stop scoring, but to keep him off the glass as well. And we've talked about West Virginia needing to continue to do that. Keon Williams leads the Cowboys in steals, and he's one of those lengthy guards as well. 6'5" and very strong as well, 220-pound guard there. That's one of the ways that he really dominates opposing ball handlers with his physicality there and gets a lot of those steals. And then the Oklahoma State leader in blocks is, of course, their big man there in the middle, another freshman, but 6'11", 250-pounder, Brandon Garrison, 6.6 rebounds on the season. So yet again, West Virginia going to have to keep him off the glass and be mindful of him when attacking the basket at nearly 2 blocks per game. So those are standout players for the Cowboys West Virginia needs to be mindful of in this game, and you need to keep an eye on if you're a Mountaineer fan. Some of these guys are probably names to know. Let's look at West Virginia's individual numbers thus far in the season, some of the standouts for the Mountaineers. And the Mountaineers' leading scorer since his return has been Raekwon Battle, averaging right at 18 points per game to go along with nearly 5 rebounds, which I think that's been a really surprising spot for me, is how well he's done, you know, hitting the glass for West Virginia. Maybe that's, you know, out of necessity because West Virginia really needs him to do that, but it's been a great part to his game, as well as, you know, forcing a lot of steals, you know, averaging 1.5 steals per game on the season as well. He would lead West Virginia in that category, 1 assist per game, shooting 42% from the field. 3-point percentage, a little low at 27% compared to what I think we thought we would see from Raekwon. That may raise here in the near future, and hopefully it does for the Mountaineers. But other scorers in double figures for West Virginia on the season, I've talked about Jesse Edwards extensively throughout this episode, and that's because we're hoping to see him get some minutes in this game. We'll see if that happens, but it certainly would be a huge boost for West Virginia if he was able to do so. 15 points, 9 rebounds on the season for him prior to his injury, to go along with his nearly 2 blocks per game as well. Quinn Slezinski, and we know his scoring has kind of tapered off in recent games, but against UCF he really was a bright spot for West Virginia as far as efficiency from the field. So hopefully he continues to be that way in this game against Oklahoma State, and his outside shooting form returns to what we saw from him earlier in the season when he was averaging a lot of these points that he was racking up, 13.5 on the season for him, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And then Noah Farrakhan averaging 11 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 1 steal. He's been a big bright spot for West Virginia since he debuted as well. As same goes for Kirk Risa, 10 points per game, nearly 5 assists. And I hope that he can continue to orchestrate West Virginia's offense, continue to keep those assist numbers high and get those turnover numbers down as well, as they're a little bit high on the season, as you can see there as well, averaging nearly 3 turnovers per game. West Virginia would certainly like to see that go down, as well as, you know, team turnover numbers in general. But then, of course, I also just wanted to highlight Josiah Harris after his great performance last week. You know, with the players currently active for West Virginia, he would currently be the team's leading rebounder. Hopefully, like I said, he continues to carve that out as a role for himself as a great rebounder and a guy that can spot up and hit some shots off, you know, Noah Farrakhan's drive and kicks and Kirk Creases as well. So That's a look at the numbers in this game for West Virginia and how they kind of match up against the Oklahoma State Cowboys. As I said, it's two teams coming into this game in kind of desperate spots. West Virginia is really desperate to show that they can win on the road, and they also know that they can't endure hardly, you know, too many more losses if they want to have a chance at postseason play, save for, you know, winning the conference tournament at the end of the year. West Virginia really needs to get on a hot streak, and they need to get on it now. And Oklahoma State, of course, is just seeking a Big 12 win. So how do I think this one will turn out for West Virginia? You know, I've tried to keep it positive as much as possible, as I usually do here on the Country Roads webcast. And so I'm going to keep in theme with that. I'm going to predict a West Virginia win coming up this Saturday. Know it's on the road. Know they've struggled there. But I think West Virginia has really, you know, found some things that they're good at, and they've also been able to highlight some of their weaknesses and learn from them here in recent games. I like the way they match up with this Oklahoma State team if they can hit the glass against this lengthy Cowboys roster. So I'm going to take West Virginia to come out on top of this one. I think West Virginia goes into Stillwater, gets a win. I'm going to go 79-74. West Virginia takes down Oklahoma State, earns their eighth win of the season in the 20th game of the West Virginia men's basketball season. So those are kind of my thoughts. Would love to hear yours. Drop them in the comments if you're tuned into the video version of this episode. But if you're tuned in the audio side, be sure to leave them in the rating review section as well. We love, appreciate those interactions. They always help us here at the Country Roads webcast as we continue to try and grow this community throughout Mountaineer Nation. And if you want to know when we'll be releasing future content, whether it be podcast episodes here on the audio or video side, or just other Mountaineer sports updates that you can find on the Country Roads webcast YouTube channel, you can find that out by following us on social media. We're on X at WVU Country Roads, and then just Country Roads webcast, both on Facebook and Instagram. Hopefully the Mountaineers are able to pick up a road win this Saturday over the Cowboys. Looking forward to watching it, as I'm sure all of you all are throughout Mountaineer Nation as well. Appreciate you tuning in this episode of the CRW Hoops podcast. Will be more coming in the near future. Having said that, as always, I'm Jordan Cruz, and until next time, let's go Mountaineers. If you really want to know, then come on, let's go take a stroll down those